Hi, everyone. This is Scott with Blockcast. Happy to be here again today to bring you this broadcast. It's really special for me today. I have a good friend, Alex from Footprint Analytics here, so I'll let him introduce himself.
Hey, everybody. My name is Alex. I'm with Footprint Analytics. I'm 26 years old. And yeah, you know, Scotty says good friend. He's a good friend of me, too, because like how I when I first started out in the crypto scene, Scotty was one of the first boys that, you know, helped me out, teach me about some cool things. And now I'm here to talk about data, do a little recap on ETH Denver and fire up a quick commodity report. You know, I figured it'd give good sense to the market. We've had some pretty big news in this last day or so, and it's been pretty crazy. So, yeah, I'd love to hop in, Scotty, if you're cool with that, if I hop right into a commodities report. So let's just start with the markets. I was like, because, you know, right now it's pretty big correlation between Bitcoin and traditional markets. So right now, the Dow Jones is down about 1%, S&P 500, 1.15%, and the NASDAQ is at 1.38% down on the day. And looking at crude oil and stuff like that, really, they're about 0.5% down. Natural gas took a 1% dip. Gold and silver are up gold's up 1%, and silver's up about 0.25%. So it's not too bad. Corn and wheat are down as well. And the market sentiment right now is we're in a little bit of fear. According to the Fear and Greed Index, we're about 41, which is real low. It's just creeping over neutral. And then, yeah, let's take a look at Bitcoin right now. Bitcoin's currently sitting at 20,000. It's under 21,000 right now. The last day, it took a heavy dip. Which I'm sure all of you guys listening can commiserate with me about. And then we have Ethereum. Ethereum's down 3.5% at $14.99. Hopefully it's holding a little bit stronger than Bitcoin right now, which is a good sign. But as you can see, I guess this is good overall state of the markets right now. You know, everything's kind of down. People are fearing a recession, right? Bitcoin itself, we just heard some big news. Scotty, I'm sure you would like to talk about that. Bitcoin definitely took a big dip, and then Ethereum as well. So all I can say right now, guys, is hold strong. And yeah, we have a lot to talk about. So
yeah, for sure. So the first article was from the day before. We'll discuss that first, and then we'll step into the second article. So the first article that I'm going to talk about, and I really feel this caused part of the dip for sure, at least partially, U.S. government moves 1 billion of seized Silk Road BTC, prompting liquidation fears. A wallet associated with seized Silk Road funds moved 1.08 billion in BTC. The address moved 39,174 Bitcoin to two new wallets and 9,825 Bitcoin to a wallet reportedly belonging to Coinbase. The funds were originally seized from Silk Road exploiter James Zong in November 2021. So I'm not going to go through the whole article, but the reason why I wanted to bring up this article is that definitely creates that fear that we were talking about, Alex, in the market at the moment. There is another reason, of course, which I said we'll talk about afterwards, but I think it's important to talk about this. For my opinion, and you might have a different opinion than me, is everybody's fearful that the US is going to liquidate the Bitcoin funds. I personally don't feel they're going to do it. The detriment that it would have on the US market itself, if they were to dump the Bitcoin market, would be larger than these guys would want. And I don't think the impact that it would have on the market would be something that the US is wanting right now with the current world situation. What are your thoughts, Alex?
Yeah, like my thoughts are kind of exactly the same as yours, Scott. There's no way that they would dump. It just make the least amount of sense. I mean, the U.S. dollar right now is the most powerful dollar in the world. It's the oil dollar, right? So, you know, they can afford to just slowly dump it when they need to, or now they can start exploring and dipping their toes into the market more and doing what the government does. but now they got a big stash of Bitcoin to do it with. You know, it just wouldn't make sense. It's like whales in the market, right? A good example right now would be like the Blur airdrop. If you heard about that too, Scotty, like that's huge for NFTs, and it's people buying and selling to each other. Huge amounts of high valued NFTs. And it's all on the trust thing that, you know what? We are not going to dump it on each other. We're going to just, you know, slowly take, because if we dump, we're screwed. There goes away our profits. Now I take all my profits instead of keeping the safe amount that I'm making every day, you know. So it's, you know, that's really what I say about that. I just, if they did dump it, just like you said, Scotty, like how many people would just be screwed all of a sudden? Now, yeah. Now we have people. Not only in fear of losing their jobs, but now a big chunk of their assets as well, right? Recession's on the loom. Let's just mess up as many people as possible, hey?
Yeah, definitely. And here, we'll bring up the next article. And after that article, we could even touch base on Blur as well, because I know you have a little bit of say about Blur for sure. So let's finish this last article here. I'm just going to make sure that I have it up so that we're not going in between each one. So give me one second. Here we go. Share my screen. So Silvergate Bank folds, sparking a wave of finger pointing and panic selling. The struggle facing the beleaguered crypto-focused Silvergate Bank became too much to handle on Wednesday as the bank announced that it will be winding down its operations and will voluntarily liquidate the bank in an orderly manner and in accordance with applicable regulatory processes. Silvergate determined that this is the best course of action in light of recent industry and regulatory developments amid a crackdown on the banks working with the crypto ecosystem by the Securities and Exchange Commission. The struggle for Silvergate began in Q4 2022 when it was forced to fulfill $8.1 billion in customer withdrawals, losing $718 million in the process, a sum that was greater than all of the bank's profits since 2013 combined. That's incredible. And I mean, that just tells you, and you know, you knew this was coming. If you are in the market and you are watching everything, like there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, right? Like how are these people going to do that, right? Like there's no, there was all these crypto exchanges and stuff pulling their money, getting their liquidity out of the bank. Why is it that this bank wasn't going to go under? As soon as you started seeing these larger exchanges and different people taking their liquidity out before this bank went bankrupt, that should have been the biggest sign ever that things were probably going to go south with this. And I think the whole market realized that. If they didn't, I don't think they're watching what was going on. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, you know, I tend to agree with you as well, again, on that, but because you could have seen the signs coming, right? We have at Footprint, we have a big wallet tracker, and we can see proof of funds, right? And when you start seeing big amounts come out, right, it's obviously a red flag. but, you know, at the end of the day, when money starts coming out, market's gonna go down, right? It's just like how it is, right? Was minute people start taking money out of the crypto and start liquidating, it means that's money out of crypto, it's gonna go down. So I guess for this, for everybody, it's just a matter of when were they gonna announce it that was gonna happen. I mean, already it's scared a lot of people, and that's enough for them to take money out. It's gonna go down. Right. So at this point, like we know, we got to really think of what's really cool about the tech that's coming on and help reinvigorate people back on the tech that's really cool and get the trust back into the blockchain and less like get rich quicks sort of deal.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, what was I going to mention? Like with this market, you got to realize the short sellers are the people that are making money right now. And when you're looking at the short sellers making money, you got to realize there's going to be a point where these whales decide there's enough money in shorts right now that I'm going to start liquidating people. You have to realize there is a point, and it is dangerous to play that game. You really need to know what you're doing and realize when it's time to pull the profit and when it's time to keep it in. So just be aware of that, you guys. If you're playing the market, just be careful. I'm not against it, not at all, but definitely know what your limits are and where you're comfortable at. So
yeah, whales are definitely only gonna let the shorts shorters wins for so long. Like that it's honestly insane. So yes, great advice, Scotty. Like, if you guys are playing the market heavy right now, just definitely be careful, because we've seen crazy jumps, and we've seen crazy jumps in the last couple months as well. So, yeah. Really make sure you're in for, what you're comfortable with, and, take it and go, you know?
Yeah. And my favorite subject of all, since you're just there, we need to start talking about ETH Denver as well.
I know. Oh man. Crazy. It was awesome. First of all, just meeting the insane influx of people that were came in, and the sentiment of the community was amazing, right? Seeing all these people and surviving the worst of the worst, and just really looking forward to the future, and what blockchain and this technology can do for everyday people, and why it can do this, and why it's so cool. And so first though, there was so many people, I have to say this, there were so many people that came in to this conference that no one could access their data, because it was just so slow, it was so clogged, right? Closing time trying to get an Uber or a Lyft home, holy smokes. But anyways, that's just kind of to give you an example of the influx of people and the influx of builders that were going there. It is super cool. Yeah, booths, some of the projects.
Whew. Yeah, what were the projects that you seen there? What were the ones that kind of caught your eyes when you're there, or things that were maybe mentioned potentially?
You know, so I saw me myself personally, you know, Scott, I'm a big GameFi guy. So I get there, I immediately go right to the gaming section, because I want to see a fun game. I don't care if it pays me, just give me a fun game on chain. You know, that's my motto right now. So I was going rushing there, taking a look at what was going on. So what's really, really exciting for me, and what I see a lot of big things coming from, is the Game 7 community. Even back, they had a thing during Blockchain Week at Berkeley. They had an event hosted there, and it was amazing. It was great, and I'd love to see how it evolved for ETH Denver. It was sweet. They had a community game set up. There's actually, believe it or not, some really fun games. They had some tournaments. The whole zone was really fun, right? And what are we trying to do with GameFi? We've got to reignite this passion, right? What is fun about games? Games are fun at the end of the day. I play games because they're fun, not because I want to melt my brain, and and I have the same effect as watching paint dry, you know?
Yeah. No, I totally get it. And was there really great NFT projects there as well?
Yeah, you know, I also got the chance to talk to the founder of Pudgy Penguins and Frank from Day Gods. And I don't know, is this like on stage? Those guys were hinting a little bit about Pudgy Penguins, Day Gods, NFT. I don't know. They said something a little. They were really vibing on stage. Those guys were having a great time. Take that with what you will. That's just a little Denver alpha I might have or may not have heard of, but I thought it was really cool. Anyways, I was talking to them, and it's really, really sweet about how they are trying to bring NFTs as a way to get, say, my girlfriend, my mom, my grandma, how do I get these guys involved in our community without them knowing it's an NFT? Here, just sign up, blah, blah, blah. Now you got a Pudgy Penguin, or you can get a part of, like, you know, so they're really talking about ways to include everybody into this new tech, right? All right. They just want a plushie of a cute penguin, right? So yeah. how can we get all these people involved in these cute projects? Because I believe they also said that they had a high demographic of interested people in Pudgy Penguins that were in their like late 40s or 40s. So mm-hmm. it's like, how do we bring this demographic into NFTs without them knowing if it's an NFT and still preserving the beauty of the tech, right? I guess I'm going to, at the end of the day, that's still going to kind of make me sound like a broken record. But, you know, it's important to talk about how, because, you know, in time, I believe in, you know, in times of disaster, right? The best thing everybody can do is come together, right? And build a community, right? That's in any times natural disasters around the world. How do we survive, right? We come together, like Turkey, the Turkish people who came together is amazing, right? Now, on crypto in the bad times, on a way lower scale, like, you know, the people need to come together and work and figure out how can we make this as appealing as possible to everybody.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, go ahead.
I guess I'm kind of curious, like, that's amazing for them to do it. And I think we're going to see that right now. There will be an announcement in the next while for Amazon to start their own NFT marketplace. And I think that will be a huge impact for the NFT market when you have Amazon entering the market. I think you'll probably see a ton of people that have never been in NFTs before, just like Reddit was back in the just recently. I think it's going to bring an influx of new people. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I really just hope Amazon does it right when they release mm-hmm. their marketplace, right? You know, make sure that they're like, do it the OpenSea way, where, you know, they eliminate false volume, right? There's wash trade indicators, right? You need to be a verified good project, right? Amazon has to do that already, because there you have that on their marketplace to try to get rid of fraudsters, right? And we don't want, when we're bringing NFTs, the last thing you want, like, you know, I think a good example is OK Bears and not OK Bears.
Yeah.
Right? But now we're doing this with big brands or NFTs, or even smaller people that are getting their designs ripped. And whether these designs come with, you know, little knickknacks or whatever, that's really cool. It'd be very, very cool to see how Amazon can integrate what they have now into NFTs by combining real world assets with an RPC code, or, you know, subscription based to people. It's really cool. But we also just got to make sure that the rules are the right, internal regulations are in place so that people can't really game it. Because, you know, it's the last thing we want is lower credibility for these things and just a logistical nightmare of like, you know, a good example would be the Hermes. You saw the Hermes lawsuit.
Yeah. Oh, right? Yeah.
Right. So
bad.
Yeah. So the last thing you want is a bunch of Hermes lawsuits hitting you on your Amazon NFT marketplace where everything's supposed to be non-fungible, one of ones. Right. But I can still copy something and make it a one of one according to the blockchain.
So you mentioned it in that last little while, wash trading. And you also mentioned earlier a bigger marketplace that you didn't mention when you're discussing OpenSea. So let's go back to that topic that we were kind of slowly getting to towards before, and that being Blur.io. What are your thoughts on what's going on there? And do you think there is a bit of wash trading, and then also their token system? I heard from you, I think just yesterday, you mentioned a couple of the top holders or a few of the top holders hold over 70%. Of the token, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, let me look right now. The top trader did over $2 million of volume with over 122,509. You know what? Here, let me share it on screen if I can.
Yeah, definitely. You should be able to share.
Sweet. So let's take a look at this together, you guys. I already have Blurb pulled up. So look at right here. Here's the top traders on Blur with Ethereum, right? Here's the addresses doing it, and here's the volume behind it with their trade counts, okay? The top 30 wallets, what they get 70% of the drop. Like, this is crazy, right? And here's the issue with this is we're looking at the collections, the owners of these collections that are being traded on Blur, and they're getting such a fractional amount of compared to the people that are gaming the system with their product, right? And it's just like, how is it fair that, you know, these big name blue chip collections are getting like $20,000 worth of Blur compared to these just everyday traders with a bag making millions, right? And I also just, you know, we look at the transaction count, I can see why they do it, right? It's, you know, it creates volume. It gains interest in the industry, but you know, you hear me talking all the time, Scott. It's like, you know, for me, it takes away from what makes this NFT an NFT. Now we're just making it a money game. And the people that are trying to get involved into the money game, when we're looking at the people making the money, like people think that you can get these kind of gains off the rip through these transactions as a retail trader. Like, we can game the system, but you gotta look, these guys have millions and millions of dollars buying and selling to each other in their own unique circle. Okay. Like, you shouldn't be getting into NFTs to try and just sell them and make a quick flip. We got to get, what are NFTs even about? For the most part, we're talking about how great a community is. What, like, you know, at the Pudgy Penguins talk, it was so impromptu of a talk, but there was like a quarter of the audience were all holders. Like, that's amazing, right? And that's what it's about. It's about respecting the art. It's about respecting the journey. It's about respecting what the community is doing and how we've kept our OG holders from just dumping after our NFT is 10 times, right? What is so appealing about this project? You know, not just to go buy it, flip it, and make a couple airdrop tokens. I get it. Blur is for the traders. It is a trader's marketplace.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it's about. And that's what they're doing. But I just think with the amount of hype behind it, it's just getting people reinvigorated back into NFTs for the wrong reason.
By dropping the fees, it makes a perfect environment for these guys to be able to do it as well, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it's just so easy, right? Now it's just like a trust game. Get a trust game between the top guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you guys want to check out this dashboard, it's at Footprint Analytics here. You can check out all the data and see where I'm quoting from as well. If you'd like, we do have a little bit more than just NFT analytics. So check out our dashboards here. If you guys want a cool little start of looking into anything that you're really interested in, like even proof of reserves or anything like that we've talked about today, this is a great place to go and verify the data or look into it yourself and create your own insights. So I guess that's my little shill, Scott. You got me off the rip, but
yeah, no worries. And do you know what? I appreciate you taking the time to show the analytics that you guys are providing. It means a lot to see that. And the other thing is, I mean, we probably talked about three quarters of probably what we want to. So you guys, I want you to realize that this is the first of hopefully many conversations that me and Alex will have. And I'm hoping to have conversations with bigger players in the market that maybe Alex knows or I know that we can have on this show and have a greater conversation with the market and with people. So thank you, Alex. I appreciate it so much for you to come in here and take the time with me today.
Yeah. And I'm I want to thank you too, Scotty. It's been great, right? I really enjoy our conversations, right? We can just keep on going. And I also wanted to say too, if you haven't checked out Footprint, we got some really cool go-to-market tools. If you're a builder in the GameFi scene or you just want to harness your data to get that competitive edge, just let me know. We're also starting a podcast with the co-founder of Web3 Academy DAO called Web3 State of Mind. So if you guys are interested in that, stay tuned. I'd love if you like what I'm talking about, you can hear more of me over there. So with that, Scotty, I would just want to thank you again and want to thank the listeners for joining and listen to us all the way through.
Yeah, for sure. And thank you so much, everyone. And we'll be back here soon. So pay attention for the next video. And we'll be back at you. Have a wonderful day, you guys. Peace. See you later.